One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To listen to someone talk about their sexuality for a full hour and then at the end of that hour be like, you know what? Actually, I think I know you better than you know you. And I know that you just spent an hour talking about being bisexual, but I think you're straight. So, that's it. And you're straight now. And that is what it is.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight and you're obviously invited. So call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly summer party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who might be in the market for a new nickname. I feel like nicknames aren't something you can give yourself versus they have to be bestowed upon you. And I guess my name is already a nickname. My birth name is not Maddie. It's Madison. Not Madeline, not Madeline, nay, nay. My full birth given government name is Madison, but my middle name is Lynn. So in many ways, you're not wrong if you thought my name was Madeline, Maddie Lynn. Because like technically I am Maddie Lynn, but I'm also Madison Lynn. But people call me Maddie. So like technically I am Maddie Lynn. You're not like wrong. Aren't my parents kind of fucked up for that? When I realize that, I'm like, that's kind of rude and fucked up. But Lynn was my grandfather's middle name. So, Grampy, whatever you are, shout out to you. I do love my middle name because that guy was pretty awesome. All right? He was pretty sick. But I guess I already have a nickname. But I feel like I need a better nickname. I feel inspired because yesterday I was at the pool with Meg. And we were walking into the pool, into the body of water, and there was a group of hotties sitting by the stairs, and they were like, we love your vibe, like, what are your names? We start talking to them for a second, and we're giving them our names. Meg's like, I'm Meg. I go, I'm Maddie. They all go around and tell us their names, and then there was this old guy who was walking down the steps of the pool while this was happening, and everyone's going around saying their names, and when he gets to the end, this old guy walking down the steps just chimes in and goes, and I'm Frankie Goodboy. And I've been thinking about it on a loop because I'm like, do you think that he came up with that or that someone else named him that? Because I think it's a little fucked up to name yourself Frankie Goodboy. But if all of his buddies call him Frankie Goodboy, I think that's fucking awesome. So I'm like, I think maybe what I'm trying to say here is I'm putting it out there into the ether that if anyone wants to gift me a sick nickname like that, that I'm in the market for it, okay? You might be thinking to yourself, oh, she doesn't need a nickname because she already goes by one. I'm saying that's all wrong, and I'm open to be given a sick nickname like that. Don't give me anything crazy, though, okay? I want nothing bananas happening in this place, all right? I used to be called Party Like Big Head, and in many ways, that is still true. I was thinking about that yesterday, too, because we were trying to take pictures by the pool. Meg took awesome, gorgeous selfie, and I was like, you know what? I wish that I could take a selfie, but my head is too fucking big, and my arms are too fucking short, and that's the truth of it. I feel like I am, my body isn't built for a selfie. You know, I love a tripod. I love a tripod far away from me. And honestly, the invention of selfie sticks, while those were hot, that was huge for people like me with short ass arms and big ass heads. So party like Big Head is definitely a part of my future, but like that's not the same as Frankie Good Boy. Frankie Good Boy is fucking awesome. Party like Big Head just is not hitting the same, you know? Some people know me as Pancake, in the Toontown universe. Kind of awesome to go by Pancake. And, you know, I've got a couple other nicknames here and there. I can't be giving away all of my various names that people call me. But nothing quite as sick as Frankie Goodboy, you know? And now that I'm throwing out so much more information about myself, I need you to make sure you don't have anything about me having a big head or short arms in the nickname. With peace and love. Thank you so much. Leave those things about me out of it, okay? I just want to be cool. I just want to have a cool and sick nickname. But, you know, if we're really getting into the weeds here, having short arms was actually a very cool thing to have in middle school when they always did the fingertip rule for shorts. Well, guess what? My arms always pass the fingertip rule because they only go down to like my hips. So really, I could get away with like showing cooch if we're just keeping with the fingertip rule for short length, which is so stupid, by the way. I feel that way about most dress codes. But I remember whenever I would get dress coded in high school, and they would send me down to the office, I was like, I'm going to get out of here scot-free. Because these shorts are short, but guess what? They are longer than my arms. Ah, you dumb idiots. You tried to de-slut me by making sure that I only wore shorts longer than my fingertips. Well, joke's on you, idiots. Because genetically, my arms are barely there. I got short-ass arms. Short-ass arms, short-ass fingers. Short, 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 okay? You guys underestimate how teeny tiny I am. I'm a fat Polly Pocket. I told y'all this. Chunky Polly Pocket. That's the vibe I bring to the function. And I'm giving you ideas, right? Things to build upon for this nickname. You better make it sick, though, if you're going to bring it to my attention. If you're going to propose it to me, it better be a fucking awesome nickname. Like Frankie Goodboy. If not, I want nothing to do with it. Nothing, okay? I've had a pretty awesome week, though. My brother came to visit me. We went to GovBall together. Woo, GovBall. I haven't been to GovBall since 2017 or 2018, whatever year it was when Childish Gambino was there. And Lord, huge, huge year. That was a great year for GovBall. And at the time, it was held on Randall's Island. And I lived on East 96th Street at that time, I believe. 96th, 95th, I forget. I lived on the Upper East Side somewhere in the 90s, and there was a bridge that went right from where I lived over to Randall's Island, so I could literally walk to the festival from my apartment. It was an awesome year. It was a great time to be alive back then. The festival lineup was sick. I could walk to it. My sister came and stayed with me. We had the best weekend ever. It was bananas. I will say, this being my first GovBall back since then, the vibes of GovBall are much different now than they were then. Not to be a hater, but it was much better back then. I think I just like Randall's Island better as a festival location. I felt like it was bigger, much more spacious. I felt like where they have GovBall now, it seemed close quarters. Either it's much smaller, or they are selling way more tickets than they used to, because I only went one day. I went on Saturday, which was the day that was all sold out because Olivia Rodrigo was headlining. And we were walking around the festival grounds, and I just felt like there was nowhere to chill out or like have space from people. I felt like there was people everywhere. And I think that part of what makes a festival fun is like having space to chill and vibe and walk around. And like when you want to be in the crowd, you can be in the crowd, in the pit, having a good time, dancing, listening to music. But you can also walk away go sit in the grass, go to the activations, go eat the food. There's plenty of tables to sit at. Like, there needs to be some options other than being in a mosh pit of fucking people. But I digress. Except I don't, because it was a nightmare to get into Govball on Saturday. Because it rained, and then they delayed. So doors were supposed to be at 11:45 in the morning, and then they delayed them to 4 o'clock because it was raining. We get there at 4:15, let's call it. My brother and I arrive. Marina, who I was really excited for. Marina was probably the reason that I got tickets to Govball, was to see Marina for me. Obviously, I also love Olivia Rodrigo. My brother loves Olivia, but Marina was my favorite artist of the day. Marina went on stage at 5:15 p.m. We arrive at Govball at 4:15 p.m. It took us an hour and 15 minutes to get into the venue. And they had shortened Marina's set because of the rain delay. So I missed half of Marina's set because getting into the venue was such a fucking nightmare. It was like a pit of people outside the doors. I don't know what was going on or why they were running things so shit, but it was impossible to get in there. There was a bunch of fake lines forming, which I knew they were fake lines. So this is coming from someone who didn't wait in any fake line, and it still took me an hour and 15 minutes to get in there. But when we were walking in from the parking lots, there was like this line of people forming super far from the entrance. And I'm like, what are these people waiting for? And there's no signage or anything. So in my head, I was like, I think these people are waiting in a line to nowhere because they see a bunch of people in a line and they think this is where they're supposed to go. But there's nobody directing people. There's no signage. There's no nothing. I'm not waiting in this fucking line because I don't know what it is. So we start walking past all these people just to the front. And once you get all the way to the front, you realize that that line was just a line to nowhere, into the pit of people waiting to get in, as I suspected. And I heard so many people being like, what the fuck did we just wait for? That line went to nowhere. And I was like, you know what? That was kind of obvious, though. Like, not to be a hater to you guys, because I'm so sorry. Like, this is ultimately Govball's fault for not having, anybody helping guide people on where to go, or this whole getting in process was a mess. It's Govball's fault. But also, don't be waiting in lines that you don't know what they're for. Come on, people. If you see a random line, don't just get in it assuming that that's where you need to be going. People love waiting in lines to nowhere. Happens all the time. So you got to know how to spot it. When you do, you'll know next time. I spotted it. I said, I'm not waiting in that shit. So we finally get our way in, which also, on our way into Govball, my brother and I were slandered by a grown adult woman. I wish I heard it with my own two ears. My brother told me that this happened after the fact, and I had a nice giggle about it, but I wish that I heard it. But when we finally got to the front of this pit of people waiting, and the line is like slowly funneling into something more single file to actually get people through the queue, there was this like 45-year-old woman and her daughter that were standing next to Luke and I. And they were, I mean, everyone was getting antsy and impatient. Marina's on stage. Everyone's trying to get in. But it's like, at some level, you just have to accept that you are missing the set and we can move as fast as we can. But like, don't be an asshole. Okay, because we all want to get in there. We all have tickets. We're all trying to get in there. Ultimately, this is Govball's fault, not mine, not yours. Like, don't be fighting me because Govball planned this poorly. But I guess the woman next to us was like trying to squeeze past Luke and I, and was like, can't get in anywhere with all these fatties around here. And I didn't hear this, but Luke told me about it afterwards, and I was laughing my fucking ass off because I was like, well, first of all, that lady is so lucky that I didn't hear her, because she would have had the worst day of her entire adult life if I had heard her say those words to me and my younger fucking brother. Do you understand that I would have been taken out of Govball in handcuffs if I heard that? Oh my God. Grown adult woman saying that in front of her teenage daughter. Crazy. But also so funny. So funny that people behave that way. I'm like, you are goofy. You are so goofy. Silly. And also, I've waited my whole life to get to hand it to someone in person. Nobody ever says anything in person. Do you understand how exciting it would have been to get to really hand it to some bitch in person? Baby, I've been practicing since age 11. Let me in the ring, okay? Nobody ever says anything in person. Oh, send me another crazy old lady. Let me at her. I've got some pent-up rage to get out. It could have been huge for me. Huge. Absolutely fucking huge. But alas, I didn't hear it. Maybe it was for the best. I did get to go into the festival and I saw the second half of Marina's set. And then obviously Olivia was incredible. And the rain that happened in the middle of the day was honestly kind of awesome. Everyone was soaking wet. And at that point, your like inhibitions are lowered. Everyone looks like shit. Your hair looks a mess. Your makeup looks a mess. Your outfit is ruined. Your shoes are covered in mud. Like, let's just have a good time. Let's just have a good fucking time, people. And that we did. That we did. We enjoyed Olivia Rodrigo. We had a good time. I got to spend time with my brother. I can't complain. I cannot complain. Life is okay. Everything's going to be all right. But it is always sad to me whenever I have to leave my siblings and be like, well, I'll see you maybe this summer. And if not, probably Thanksgiving. And it's like, well, I actually can't think about that because it's going to make me so upset and depressed to be like, well, maybe I'll see you in a month. Up at our parents' house if we both are there at the same time, but maybe we won't be. And then I will literally see you at fucking Thanksgiving. Even now, I feel like my brain is short-circuiting saying that out loud because it is deeply depressing to me. I actually don't think it ever gets easier or less upsetting to know that I will probably never live under the same roof as my siblings ever again and get to hang out every single day ever again. That is sad to me. Never gets less sad. Always feels devastating to me when I remember it, and feels more devastating because in the moment I didn't realize that it was ending, or that it's the ending would be so significant to me. It was one of those things I just didn't think about when I was graduating high school and going to college. I think when you're the first one, you don't think about it that much. But here we are. I'm 28 now. And that sucks. That sucks that I just don't get to see my siblings that often because we all live in different places. And what the fuck? What the fuck? Ugh. Can't think about it. Just have to leave it, put it out there and leave it there and walk away because I will get sad about it. It was great to see Luke, though. I'm glad that he came and stayed with me for the weekend. I had an awesome time. And maybe I just got to make some time to head out to LA at some point in the fall. Before I get into everything I'm going to talk about in today's episode, I want to give a quick reminder to all of my New York City residents, which is that the Democratic mayoral primary is coming up. I'm filming this on Friday, June 13th. Early voting starts tomorrow. Tomorrow is also the last day to register to vote in New York if you haven't already. It is very easy. You don't need a New York ID. You just need proof of residence here. So please, if you are a transplant, if you move to New York and your voter registration is still somewhere else, please, it's time to transfer that voter registration because your neighbors need you. And voting in local elections and being engaged with who our citywide officials are is important. This mayoral election is a big deal. We need to make sure that Andrew Cuomo does not get fucking elected. He doesn't need to be our mayor. He resigned in disgrace from governor. I don't know what the fuck is going on that people are even considering voting for him. He is a menace. All right. And we have a really awesome candidate on the ballot, which is none other than Zohran Mamdani. I will be ranking Zohran number one. Number one, Zohran will be in my number one position, and Cuomo will be nowhere on my ballot at all. That is what we need people to do. We need people to get out there, vote, rank Zohran number one, and do not rank Cuomo. It is good to rank other candidates in your second, third, fourth, fifth position. You can look into that and decide how you want to rank other people. But the thing that matters here is that we rank Zohran number one, and Andrew Cuomo is not on the ranking at all. Andrew Cuomo is a piece of shit. He'd be a terrible mayor. He does not care about making this city more affordable and accessible for average, everyday New Yorkers. He hasn't even lived in New York City since the 90s. So I don't know about you, but among all the other various reasons why Andrew Cuomo would be a terrible mayor, I don't really want our mayor to be someone who does not live here and does not understand what it's like to be someone living in New York. That seems like maybe a baseline requirement of being fucking mayor. Is everyone just like drinking crazy juice these days, or what's going on? This feels obvious. So please, if you haven't registered to vote in New York City, it is not too late. Get out there. June 14th is the last day to register in New York to vote in this mayoral election, and it is also the first day of early voting. I am going to be early voting because I'm going to be in Greece during actual election day, which is June 24th. So if you live in New York City, please engage, lock in. We need this. The race is very close. For the first time ever, Zohran is starting to poll ahead of Cuomo, which is incredible, and we need to keep with the momentum, keep with the excitement, make sure that people are actually getting out there and voting. Please, 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 if you've ever listened to anything I've ever said in this podcast, if you live in New York City, get your ass to the voting booth, whether you're going to be early voting or voting on election day. Think about it, make a plan, and if you're not registered here, switch your goddamn registration because your neighbors need you. It has been an exhausting couple weeks to live in the United States, has it not? So many things to talk about here. I saw a post on Facebook the other day in one of these like hometown Facebook groups that I'm in. And it was a pride post, but the comment section was littered with homophobia, with transphobia, just like some of the worst comments you can think up, it was said in these comment sections. And I saw it, and you know, that's not necessarily behavior that I don't expect from my hometown, but it's always shocking to me to read it nonetheless. And it always makes me kind of giggle a little bit because I grew up in Massachusetts. And the high school that I went to is consistently ranked as being one of the best public schools in the US. And I think with those things together, being, you know, a town that has one of the best public school systems, and it is a town in Massachusetts, which is generally seen as a very liberal state, was one of the first states, if not the first state, to legalize same-sex marriage. Massachusetts is generally seen as one of the most progressive states in the U.S. And still, my assessment of my hometown growing up was that these people were not accepting, not nearly as left-leaning as I thought that it should be. I felt like I was routinely getting in arguments with classmates about human rights and treating people with kindness. But the general PR for towns in the Northeast in Massachusetts is that they are like liberal safe havens, and they are, you know, safe towns for LGBTQ folks. And I don't deny that these towns and these states are definitely safer, simply because we have laws in place to protect people. That doesn't mean that there aren't tons of people that are absolute fucking menaces. And this was true when I went to high school, and it is absolutely still true now. In many ways, I think it's probably gotten worse over the last decade. And that's just one example of one Facebook post from a community Facebook page in a small town in Massachusetts. But I've seen a lot of homophobia and transphobia this Pride Month in a way that has rattled me a little bit, a lot of it. Actually, I'm constantly rattled. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Even in my own comment section, which was kind of crazy, because I feel like sometimes this section of the internet feels very cut off from people like that. But even in last week's episode, which was an episode all about my bisexuality, my bisexual awakenings, a Pride episode of sorts, me talking about my own queer experiences and moments that felt significant to me in understanding my own relationship with my sexuality. Even in the comment section of that episode, I had to delete a few comments. Yes, I did. I did have to delete a few fucking comments from people who were being biphobic as hell. There was one person who wrote a comment saying that they thought that I was actually straight, but I'm just convincing myself that I'm bi because I've been unlucky with men. Can you imagine that? Like, I saw that comment and I was like, what? What is fucking going on? First of all, I mean, there's so many things wrong with that comment. I could talk about that comment on a loop, girl. First of all, to listen to someone talk about their sexuality for a full hour and then at the end of that hour be like, you know what? Actually, I think I know you better than you know you. And I know that you just spent an hour talking about being bisexual, but I think you're straight. So that's it. And you're straight now. And that is what it is. And bisexual people just like, I don't buy it. I personally don't buy it. I think that you just love men. You're a man lover at the end of the day. And anything else is just you coping with the fact that you haven't found the one yet. That's crazy. That is crazy. Some of you center men so intensely that you don't realize how fucking crazy you sound. Like, is that normal logic to you? Where you're like, yeah, this bisexual person, I don't buy it. Like, if only you found the right man, then you wouldn't be bisexual. You guys sound crazy, okay? The more we break it down, the more you're like, oh, wow, yeah, actually, that is an insane thing for me to comment. What the fuck? And that's not even getting into the fact that I reject the idea that I have been unlucky in love in any way. That's actually not something that rings true to me or that feels resonant to me at all, because it centers the idea that in order to be lucky in love, you have to be in long-term relationships and meet people who are like the one, meet the person you're going to marry. And that means you're lucky in love, and having any other variety of experiences in love and in dating beyond like meeting your person and being with them and just having everything be rainbows and butterflies. If you have any other experience outside of that one, you are unlucky or failing in some way, which also I think this is connected to people's sort of aversion to singlehood and general distaste for it on a personal level. But people project the hell out of that onto everyone else. And they're like, oh, well, I would be so miserable if I was single. So clearly everyone else feels that way. And this random woman on the internet who is talking about her experience with her sexuality, like, because she has been single for so long and she hasn't found the right man for her yet, then I don't buy that she could be also looking for a woman as well, because she just, you know, she's just unlucky in love and that's why she thinks she's bi. What? Like, it pissed me off so much because I'm like, not only do I think you have warped views on singlehood and what it means to be lucky or unlucky in love, but also you're biphobic. Like, double whammy, okay? There's so many things wrong right now. There's so many things wrong. I feel sorry for you. I do. And there was a couple other just blatantly biphobic comments in my comment section. That's fine. I read them. I deleted them. I'm not bothered by it on a personal level. I'm more protective of other people in that regard and making sure that other bisexual people don't read that dumb shit because it's not necessary. And more than that, I feel angry that these people feel emboldened to say that shit in the first place. To listen to someone talk about their sexuality for an hour, a stranger that you don't fucking know, because some of you need that reminder apparently, you don't know me, to listen to me talk for an hour and be like, actually, that girl's straight. I know she said she's bisexual and talked for an hour about all of her various experiences in coming to terms with that and accepting it, but actually she's straight to me. And I think if she found the right man, she'd just be straight for real. You're only bi because you haven't found the right man yet, because you've been unlucky in love. Shut up. Oh, I would hate to live inside your brain like worms, babe. Worms up there to the highest degree. Worms and maggots and termites. They crawled in through your ears when you were sleeping and you've been living with it ever since. I need you to know there's something wrong with you. There is. And you know what? This is what's been pissing me off about the internet recently. As there are so many people on the internet that will try to convince you that there is something wrong with you, when the whole time it's like, babe, there's something wrong with you. Meanwhile, they're in my comment section like, oh, you're so this, you're so that. There's all these things that are wrong with you that I hate that you need to change. And it's like, you're writing a comment to a stranger. You're writing a hate comment to a stranger on a YouTube video on an anonymous account. Which one of us needs to change? Quickly, okay? Screen record my video and then screenshot your comment and send them both to your therapist, your parents, and all your best friends, and let them tell you which one of us needs to change, because I promise you it's not me, you fucko. Like, I'm done with these idiots on the internet that behave like beasts. They behave so insane, and then their whole shtick is being like, well, you're bad and you need to change and you're annoying and you're ugly and you're too fat and you're whatever. You need to do all of these things to change yourself, to make yourself a better person. Meanwhile, they are doing some of the most rotted shit online. I'm like, I don't need to change. I'm actually doing just fine. You, on the other hand, have a couple things that maybe we could work on. You motherfucker. I'm so tired. I'm turning it back around. This is what I'm saying. I'm pro-bullying now. Fuck it. I don't care. Some of y'all need to be bullied. And that's what I'm sticking to. That's the truth that I'm in alignment with these days. We've been bullying the wrong people for so many years. The sweetie hearts have been getting bullied. Meanwhile, the bullies have not gotten a taste of their own medicine. I'm not taking the high road anymore. Some of you guys are fucking dumb. I was talking about this on the Patreon last week, but I'm like, I am ready to fight. I'm ready to fight. And this is why I wished that woman had said the fat thing in the govball line in front of me, because it's pent up. There are so many things that have been building up inside me. I am ready to fight. Some people deserve to be punched. Some people deserve to be yelled at. Some people need to be told that they are actually the crazy ones. You've spent so much time thinking that all of these other people are the problem. I hate to tell you, it's actually you. You are the problem. Holy shit. Holy fuck. Anyways, it's just insane to be so biphobic and so deep, funneled, just taking up residence, absolutely like setting up shop inside of men's asses, that you think there's no possible way that a single woman could be happy in her solitude, that I must be pretending to be bisexual because I'm not dating a man right now. And again, it's like, I feel like I'm always living in this in-between space of being not shocked and simultaneously so shocked. Like, I can never get used to the fact that this is just how real human people behave. It's always shocking to me on some level, because I'm like, whoa, you actually talk to people like that? But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, I guess it's not shocking at all, because we knew that this was the direction that things were trending. Like, we are regressing. We are regressing so fucking bad. We're becoming less inclusive, less understanding, less kind, less averse to people holding these fuck-ass opinions publicly. Like, people feel so bold to just say things out loud, publicly, in front of an audience. And I'm like, you should have taken that thought to your grave. That should have been an inside thought for life. just the most fucking hateful losers you've ever met in your life are like, you know what? Get me on the mic. Actually, I've got a thing or two to say. And I'm like, has no one hit you before? And obviously, I blame the current administration for so many of these things and a myriad of other people. But Donald Trump and all his fucking minions, I hate him. I hate him so much. I feel like a fiery rage in the pit of my chest. And it never goes away. I wake up every morning mad and I fall asleep every night mad. And meanwhile, when you have all the homophobes and transphobes going rogue this Pride Month, you also have ICE raids happening all across the fucking country. Families being torn apart for literally no fucking reason. And sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind because I don't know how to explain to people that I don't care if someone is here illegally. I don't care if someone is in the U.S. as a legal citizen or not. It doesn't matter to me. There is no universe where a piece of paper would be the thing in between treating someone like a real fucking human being versus not. There's no universe where someone being here illegally would be a good enough reason to tear apart a family, traumatize children, put them in a fucking cage and treat them like they're subhuman. There is no amount of paperwork or legal status that would ever make me treat another person like that or believe that they were deserving of that. And it feels so like basic, caring, treating other people like people that it is hard for me to even begin to understand what to say to people who think differently to make them wake the fuck up. It feels so like basic human care that it is hard to understand how you could think differently. I don't understand. I've never understood. And Kendra Austin at Kendra Amorous on Instagram and TikTok always has the best shit to say about literally everything. I think that Kendra is just like a beacon of knowledge and wisdom, and she is so great with words and writing it all down. She had an Instagram story the other day that I screenshotted and wanted to repeat back to you guys here because I thought it was beautifully worded and was exactly how I felt about all of this too. She said, "Can y'all please stop talking about how much Mexican Americans, undocumented, still Americans, do for this country? It does not matter that they grow food. Feels icky even typing it out. They deserve to be here because they want to be and they've identified their lives as better for it. That is all that personally matters to me. I don't care if the folks in question pay taxes. I don't want to be paying taxes to fund genocide and terrorism either. Sorry. Like, can we just not be weird about this and accept that these folks are simply human and that's the whole reason why we shouldn't be terrorizing their lives? I don't need any person in the world to be useful to me to think they deserve a better life." Heavy on that last sentence. I don't understand why we're adding all of these qualifiers. And granted, I understand a lot of it is well-meaning. People are like trying to be like, well, see how much value that these undocumented people have added to our lives, that they contribute to our communities. It doesn't matter though. Someone does not have to be useful to you in order to have value. These are people, living, breathing, fucking people that are here, that want to be here. And I don't care what the fuck they contribute or don't contribute. There is a standard with which you are supposed to treat other human people. I don't give a fuck if someone is here illegally or not. That does not justify the treatment and brutality that we're seeing all across the fucking country. It's ridiculous. And there was a tweet that was going around being reposted a lot that said, "Look at the resources they're willing to commit to terrorize people, but not to feed or house people. Looking at what's happening in this country with ICE, what's happening in Gaza, what our country is helping to fund that's happening in Gaza." It's mind-boggling to me that anyone could see all of that and be like, you know what? That's awesome. You know what? I'm totally cool with all of that. Conservatives get so mad at the idea of tax dollars going towards like fucking education or affordable housing efforts or free fucking buses, lunches for kids. They get so fucking mad at the idea of tax dollars going to any of the various amount of efforts that actually make life tangibly better for people in their communities. Meanwhile, they're totally fucking cool with those tax dollars going towards defending our borders by drop kicking immigrants and tearing apart families. Like, what is wrong with you? You are the bad folks that you're trying so hard to kick out. You care so much about making sure your tax dollars don't go to help people in need. You care so much about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You don't want to help anybody in need because you think that everyone should work and grind the same way that you did. You don't want your tax dollars going to help out people less fortunate because they should just, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get to work just like you did and build a life, whatever. So mad about your tax dollars going towards helping people. Totally fucking cool with your tax dollars going routinely to efforts that terrorize people. And meanwhile, you're convinced that other people are the terrorists? My God. Look in the mirror. You are the bad people. You are the bad people that you won't shut the fuck up about. And these same fucking conservatives that are still on the Donald Trump Express will get up on Facebook.com and talk up and down about how they are the real righteous ones here to protect real Americans. But who the fuck are the real Americans? Who counts anymore? Because you refuse to take care of your neighbors that are less fortunate than you are, your neighbors that aren't white, your neighbors who are gay or trans or are anything other than a perfect mirror for you. You won't back any kind of community funding or efforts that actually give back to people in this country. You don't actually give a fuck about your neighbors or the community that you live in. You don't care about immigrants. But you also don't care about people who were born here either. You don't care about anyone. That's kind of the whole fucking conservative playbook. You care about yourself, about your money, your rights, your freedoms, and anything that isn't a perfect mirror for your needs, your wants, your life, your experience is immediately wrong and bad. And it must be stopped at all costs. You have a zero tolerance policy for fucking anybody or any life that doesn't look just like yours. And it is crazy. Some of you need to be punched. It's all about me, 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 me. And the second you have to consider literally anyone else, you're like, fuck it. Who cares? Who cares? Rip apart their family. Deport them to God knows where. Don't care if they've never been there before a day in their life. Don't care if the kid's in foster care. Get them out of here. They're here illegally. Excuse me? It's ridiculous. It's enraging. I feel there are 20 new things to be angry about every single day. Right now, I'm just trying to concentrate my efforts on the mayoral election here in New York because that feels the thing that's closest in my direct sight line that I can tangibly help with and put effort towards, which that's the thing that I can focus on right now that makes me feel like I'm giving back to my community, and that feels helpful. But how truly nasty and despicable so many people are, and how terrible it is that they keep being emboldened to believe these sorts of things loudly, proudly, and publicly. Truly fucking nasty, subhuman shit. That's not how you treat people. Period. Don't care. Don't care. Didn't need to hear any qualifiers for why I should respect someone. Don't need to know if they are here illegally or illegally, if they pay taxes or if they don't. I don't give a fuck. That's not how you treat people. And it's weird that some of you need to be told that. To finish out the episode here, I'm going to tackle a couple of audience submissions. As always, there is an audience submission box where you can submit anything and everything that's on your mind, on your heart, questions, requests for advice, am I the asshole, anything that you would like to communicate to me directly, throw in that box. And maybe we will talk about it on the show. Hi, Maddie. How do you tackle body hair during the summer? I feel like online, at least on the side of the internet that I'm on, people are campaigning for full bush in a bikini, which I'm all about in theory. But I just got invited to a pool party and my first thought was about shaving. Even though I love the idea of not giving a fuck about your body hair, I struggle actually implementing it and hold a lot of judgment towards myself and fear for what others would think. You're like an older sister figure in my life, so I would greatly appreciate your wisdom. So this comes as not a shock, I'm sure. But I haven't shaved my pubic hair in like 5 years. I haven't touched my pubic hair in a long ass time. To be totally honest and vulnerable with you, I don't even remember the last time I trimmed it. Because I don't give a fuck like that. I really don't. And I prefer the look of a bush. I like to have pubic hair, personally. I prefer the look of it. I prefer the feel of it. I think it's sexy. I love pubic hair. I think it's awesome. I am personally more comfortable with it. So for that reason, I don't really think about it a lot for like summertime and bikini wearing. And it's not something that crosses my mind. And to be honest with you, if someone's like studying my puss, I'm kind of like, aren't you the weird one? Also, like, I don't know. How you feel is going to change person to person, what you feel comfortable with, what it looks like or doesn't look like. But to be honest with you, like, I have a full bush and I feel like you can't really see it in a bathing suit anyways. And like, because I am a big girl with big thighs, you can't even really see the part of my thigh where there would hair, where hair would be growing. Like, obviously we have like the bush, full bush, and then you have like some hair that grows on like the tops of your legs, inner thighs, near the full bush. But to be honest with you, my thighs are so big and they sort of like go inwards, like it's a, my skin sort of covers it up, so you can't really see my bush anyways. But like, if I was sitting like crisscross at the beach, I'm sure you could see it. I'm sure it would pop out. But like, if I'm just standing upright in a bathing suit, you cannot see my pubic hair at all, and I have a full bush. So understand that my perspective also comes from someone that it's just like my thighs cover everything that's happening down there. My thighs kind of, yeah, it just is, you can't really see much. But even if I was sitting in a way where you could, that doesn't bother me. Because I like the look of a bush, and that's what I feel comfortable with. If you don't want to shave, don't shave. If you don't want to trim, don't trim. Not to give you the same exact fucking advice as you came in here saying your feed was already giving you, but that is the vibe I'm on. And I'm on your algorithm. So, you know, it seems like we're all in alignment here. Your algorithm is perfectly curated because, I it's always been a full bush summer for me, really. I don't want to have razor burn or any kind of discomfort on top of the fact that I also just think a bush is sexy. Honestly, sometimes I wish my bush would peek out. Honestly, sometimes I wish that maybe people could see more, but you really can't. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think you'd be surprised how many people don't give a fuck. Again, I've had a full bush not touched for like 5 fucking years now. And not one person ever has ever said anything to me. Because to be honest with you, it would be really weird if they did. They're like, you should probably shave your pubic hair next time. I'm like, why are you looking at my puss? You freak, you weirdo. Why are you looking at me like that? It's like, it's weird. It'd be really weird for someone to say anything about that, you know? And I promise you that anything that someone is thinking, I feel like more often than not, we think that someone might be looking at us like, why would they not shave? That's so gross. But I actually feel like more often than not, if someone is looking at you or staring at you, they're probably thinking to themselves like, wow, I wish that I had the confidence to make a choice like that. Or like, wow, I didn't know I was allowed to do that. I feel like such a pressure to shave, but here's this person that clearly doesn't feel that pressure. And that's like making me reflect a little bit or making me think about my own self and the pressures that I feel to groom myself a certain way and like what my personal choices might be if I didn't feel that pressure. I think most of the time people are observing or staring more in admiration or curiosity than they are in judgment. Maybe I'm an optimist. But even if they were staring in judgment, that's like not your burden to carry. you should do what feels the most comfortable for your body. What feels the most comfortable and liberating and sexy and whatever it is that you want to feel. Go with that. So from someone who doesn't shave and pretty much never trims either. I mean, maybe I'll trim every once in a blue moon, but I'm telling you right now, I haven't trimmed in the last like 2-3 years, probably. I don't touch it. I don't. So coming from someone like me, I say full bush it out. Why would I have such a full, beautiful bush if I wasn't allowed to just enjoy her? God gave me a bush. What can you do about that? Hi, Maddie. I recently have gained a bit of weight, and while I love my new curvier form, I have also noticed that I tend to look more sexy in clothes even when I don't want to. For example, I've been crocheting for years now, and I love making those little bralette tops. However, while they used to look cute and summery on me, now that my boobs are bigger and I've gotten more hippie, they make me look like I'm going to the club. I don't want to have to dress more modestly, but I also miss looking cute in more revealing clothes that I now think make me look more sexual. How have you navigated your body being sexualized as a curvier woman? To be honest with you, because I have had big boobs since puberty, I feel like I kind of grew up understanding that my body was going to be inherently sexualized, which I think is something that all women understand to some degree, varying degrees here, right? But I think with my chest specifically, I grew up understanding that this is a part of me that was going to be sexualized and scrutinized. And when I was a teenager, this was something that got brought up all the time. There's so many examples that I could give to you, whether it was like getting dress coded in school or like at dance competitions, judges, they do like vocal feedback. And so at the end of competitions, you are sent a video of the dance and then you can hear the judge talking throughout the entire dance and you watch it back at the studio. And feedback that I routinely got as a dancer was that I looked too sexualized and that it stood out in the sea of like other dancers that did not have the same body that I did. And I feel like more often than not, I just felt sort of like a, well, that's your problem, not mine kind of thing. I definitely felt that way when I got dress coded at school, where I was like, I can go to school wearing the same exact thing as all of these other girls, but I'll get dress coded for it and they won't. And that's just not fair. And if you are uncomfortable by it, if you, a grown ass fucking male teacher, is uncomfortable about the tank top that I'm wearing, then that's kind of your own fault and your own problem and not mine. I like reject the idea that my body is inherently sexual and that because my chest looks a certain way, I like have a duty to cover it up or to be more modest or present myself in a certain way, or that I can't be perceived as cute or pretty, that I'm always going to be sexy, which this is something I struggled with a lot in college. I've definitely talked about this online before, but it was so long ago. But in college, I definitely used to struggle with like, I never felt cute or pretty. I only ever felt hot or sexy. And it impacted like the way that I dated and the way I was able to show up in these relationships, where I was always able to like really turn it on as like, you know, sex demon. I was always really able to like turn that side of me on. But this like sweeter, more cutesy version of myself, this like sweeter version of me that I feel like is more obvious about me now, I felt a disconnect between me and that version of myself when I was growing up. And I think it's largely because I was never treated like I was cutesy or, you know, I don't know, just like a more delicate kind of beauty versus someone who was like sexual and was treated like a sexual woman before I had any chance to like get to know myself in that way, if that makes sense. So I do get what you mean. And also I feel like growing up with a big chest sort of shaped my perspective a lot, where it was like, this is something I'm used to and it's something that I really disagree with, because my body is not inherently inappropriate. Me existing is not inherently inappropriate. It's you projecting that onto me that is inherently inappropriate. And I deserved to be treated the same way as everyone else was in the context of the dance competition. And I also deserved to be treated differently when I started dating for the first time. And I was never treated sweetly or gently or delicately. It was always aggressively sexual. And I do think that my body has played a large part in that. And now I feel like my relationship with my chest is similar, where I'm still like, if you think it's inappropriate, that's your fucking fault for being a weirdo. I like to wear what I like. Now my concern when dressing myself is like comfort above everything else. So like, I don't know, a lot of tops I will choose not to wear, not because they are revealing, but because they're uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to walk around fearing that I'm going to pop a nipple all night. That's just not fun for me, to be in constant fear that you can see my areola or you can see my nipple. So I will choose not to wear tops that are going to make me panic. But I wear a bunch of tops that feel comfortable and also show off my chest. And I wear those because I like them. Because I like my chest and I like my body and I like to show it off. And if you're going to be a freak about it, then that's your fault, not mine. And that's that. Anybody that's weird about your body, that's like not your responsibility to take on. If you're going to be weird that I'm wearing what I'm wearing because you think I should be more modest because of my chest, or you think that fat girls shouldn't wear the outfit that I'm wearing, any of these things, reactions that you might feel in response to what I'm wearing, like, that's not my business. That's not my problem. That is fully on you. And it's not on me to change my style or change what I feel comfortable wearing because you're being weird about it. I'm going to wear what I like wearing, what is comfortable for me to wear. And if someone else is going to like over sexualize you or take it to a weird place, that's on them. Like, at the end of the day, if you like wearing these fun little crochet tops, then you should wear them. And they don't have to be sexy unless you want them to be sexy. Do you feel sexy? Do you want to feel sexy? Awesome. I think it's good to feel sexy if that's what you want. But if you just want to feel sweet and cutesy and pretty in this cutie little top, that's cool too. I don't think that having a larger chest makes you inherently sexy or undeserving of leaning into your cutesy nature. But I also understand how sometimes that's not how other people treat you. But at the end of the day, I think you at some point have to just sit back and be like, other people's perception of me in this top, in this outfit, is none of my fucking business, because this is my body. I live my life in this body every single day, and I'm not going to deny myself the joy of wearing my favorite clothes, of wearing my favorite outfits, because there are some people out there that think that my boobs are too big to wear something like this, or something like this is always going to be like super unnecessarily sexy and it's not possible for me to be cute. It's only sexy if I wear it. It's like, no. I remember there was one time my sister and I went to a music festival together, and I was wearing a bodysuit that was lace up, you know, in 2016, where we had those like lace up bodysuits that were lace up from like belly button to neck. I was wearing a bodysuit like that, and my mom posted a picture of my sister and I on her Facebook page, and there was this one woman in my mom's comment section being like, how dare you let your daughter wear that? And this is actually feedback my mom got all the time when we were kids growing up. People always used to criticize my mom for what she let me and my sister wear. And my mom was always like, you guys are really fucking weird. You guys are really bizarre, which I think is probably why it was so easy for me to brush it off, because my mom was always like the hot mom. My mom had style. She was cool. There was nothing that was like too inappropriate for her to wear. She just like wore what she thought was cool and what she liked. And there was never, my parents did not care what me and my sister wore either. I never in my life put on an outfit that my mom was like, no, you're not allowed to wear that. I would come downstairs and we'd go to the mall together. My mom would be like, this is so cute. You should get this. Like, that just didn't exist in my household. There was no, my mom never made me feel like my body was inherently inappropriate in some way. Props to Anne Michelle, you know, for all of the various problems I've had with my body image throughout my life that my parents have contributed to. My parents were really great about not ever like slut shaming my sister and I for the clothes that we wore. And I think that that has also helped me as a teenager and as an adult to be like, this is your problem if you are, you know, up in arms about this. And when my mom posted that photo on her Facebook and that random moment is like, how dare you let your daughters dress like that? My mom was like, suck a dick. Suck a fucking dick. Go cry about it. Like, they look so cute. They're here at this music festival in their awesome little outfits. Fuck you if you're so up in arms about this, you know, 19-year-old. I was 19 at the time, wearing a lace-up bodysuit. Like, get a fucking hobby. Who cares? Who fucking cares? We'll see when this episode ends up actually going live. I'm filming this at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, June 13th. So I'm hoping I'll get this live either tonight or tomorrow morning. But I'm going to go watch Vanderpump Rules and eat a damn good dinner. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend and rest of your night as well. And again, New Yorkers, vote, please, for the love of God. Rank Zoran Mamdani number one, and do not rank Andrew Cuomo. Thank you. Love you so much. I'll see you guys in my next podcast.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.